All right, Fresh Life. Well, we're so happy to have you in the house this weekend, and it is Palm Sunday weekend. Can you believe that Easter is only a week away?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you guys remember what happened on Palm Sunday this weekend that we're celebrating this triumphal entry? Jesus rode to Jerusalem on a
donkey.
A donkey. A lot of great donkey stories in the Bible, but probably the best, probably the luckiest donkey in the whole Bible is the one that got to carry
Jesus
into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now that has to do with us because this weekend that's what we're celebrating. And the story is in Matthew chapter 21. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there and we'll read it together. This is the story of the triumphal entry. Everyone say triumphal.
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 Entry. And the title of this message this weekend is Be the Donkey.
Can you say the donkey.
Be the Donkey?
Be the Donkey.
Now point right in the camera and say, Be the Donkey.
Be the Donkey.
And then point at yourself and say, you play along at home, Be the Donkey.
Be the Donkey.
Well, I like how you snuck up on yourself there. That was good. Matthew 21, verse 1. We're going to put the Bible on the screen for you, if you don't have your own Bible. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples. Show me two.
Two
disciples. And by the way, it's always good to do life two by two, not by yourself. Because then you have someone to be with you. You won't be lonely. If something bad happens, they're there. Jesus always sent people out two by two. You got to make sure you have people in your life who have your back. Two by two. And he said, verse two, go into the village opposite you. Someone say go.
Go into the village opposite you.
Overachiever. And immediately you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Loose them, and so it's a donkey and a baby donkey. Mm-hmm. Oh, you like baby donkey. Oh. Bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king. What does a king wear?
Royal robes.
Royal robes. What else does a king wear? A tiara. Not so much. That's more the princess. The king is coming to you, verse 5, lowly and sitting on a... What was Jesus sitting on?
A crown.
A crown? That would hurt. What else? He rode on a...
Elephant.
I'll give you a hint, Clover.
Donkey.
A donkey. Right. Lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Verse 6. Now it's always a good idea to do what Jesus says to do. What should you do if Jesus tells you to do something?
Do it.
Do it. Post haste. So, verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude, they spread their clothes on the road. Can you imagine putting all your clothes on the road? Right? Others cut down branches out of the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna! Everyone say Hosanna.
Hosanna!
Okay, every time I say Hosanna, you have to say it again. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
To the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
In the highest. Verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Everyone was saying, who is this?
Who is this?
Turn to your neighbor and say, who is this?
Who is this?
And who was it? Who had come on the donkey?
Jesus.
Verse 11, so the multitude said, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the guy we've been tweeting about, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. All right, girls, so we've just read the story of Jesus coming into the city, so he could die on the cross and rise from the dead. And he came in, like the Bible said he would, on a...
donkey.
On a donkey. And we're calling this message this weekend, Be the Donkey. And as I'm taking some time to put together my Easter messages and the School Church Majestic message, I've asked a couple of our team members who are a part of my leadership team here at the church, because God's raised up a great team to help us. The work that we're doing is way too much for one person to do. But when a lot of people all work together, we don't all have to do everything, which is how God wants it to be. So I've asked some of my leadership team to each preach the three different points, and they're going to all help us to channel our inner donkey. First, we're going to hear from Coy Trammell, Mr. Coy, who is our executive pastor at the church, and he's my right-hand man. He's been with us since the very beginning. Him and his wife, Sarah, are amazing, and they're little girls who are your friends. And so he's going to talk to us. Then we're going to hear from Mr. Kevin Guido, who is our worship pastor here at the church. And he and his wife, Elena, are amazing, and we're so thankful for their contribution, their passion. They've also been here from day one, and we're so thankful for the way he leads the worship department with our new Fresh Life record coming out soon. Pretty excited. An EP coming soon. And then we're going to hear from Mr. Devin Flaherty. And Devin is over Fresh Life Creative, so all the look and feel and the website and the so many different team members are part of Fresh Life Creative. And he and his wife, Jen, and they have little Fox and Finley, the little boys. And so Devin's going to preach the third point. But three different ways for us to all channel our inner donkey, because the donkey's job of bringing Jesus to people, that's our job as we seek to release this message that God's put into our hearts. Because the Bible says Jesus lives in our heart, and just like the donkey carried Jesus, we're bringing Jesus who's in us to other people. And so without further ado, from Livy and Clover and Daisy and myself, we hope and pray this Palm Sunday weekend finds you so excited. We're so happy to have you in the house. And now let's all put our hands together for Mr. Coy Trammell. Come on, let's give it up for him. Can you clap your hands?
Well, hello, everybody. So good to be with you all this afternoon, and it's an honor to be here. Thanks so much, worship team. You guys can take your seat. These guys did a great job. Anything? Always an amazing time of worship in the house, but particularly great this morning. Well, again, it is an honor to be here. So privileged to be able to give God's word out in just a small way this weekend. And I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity and just to even be a part of this team and all that God is doing. Me and my wife count it just a great privilege to do just, again, a small part of all that God is doing across the state and across this country and in our hearts and in this church. We're just honored to be a part and to serve under the leadership of Pastor and Jenny is a truly an honor and a privilege. And let's give it up for them. Yeah. So I am honored to be here today. And as Jenny said, we are just 1 week away. We're running towards Easter and believing God for great things coming up in this next weekend. And so we want to just prepare our hearts to see what all that we believe God's going to do. And we prepare ourselves to be used by him in just a massive way this next week. And Easter is a big deal. And in this passage we're going to look at here this morning, Jesus is in the middle of the massive Jewish holiday, Passover. And Passover is just the time when the nation of Israel would stop and remember all that God did for them as God pulled them out of slavery in Egypt, and particularly the miracle of the Passover, when God struck down the firstborn of every Egyptian, and he passed over the firstborn of every Jew, and the Israelites would come together once a year to remember this, to celebrate this. And so this was a very busy time of year in Jerusalem. The city would swell up to five times its normal population. And so it was packed. You think we have it bad during summers in Montana. This is way more intense. Literally no place to park, no place to sleep. There's a lot of people in this city. And Jesus comes riding in on a donkey in this setting. And so in the midst of all the busyness, you know, obviously people have family in town and there's dinner on the stove and there's activities planned because this is a great holiday. Jesus comes riding in, and he is totally focused on something completely different, totally focused on something else. He is on mission, and his mindset is what he's getting ready to accomplish on the cross. John 12, 27, Jesus says, "For this reason I've come," when speaking of the cross. He had a laser focus on what God was going to do through him in dying for us and dying for the sins of the world. And so obviously this is his focus. And the same thing is true today. Jesus is focused in on what he's trying to accomplish. And we are approaching Easter week, and we have to protect ourselves from being distracted by the busyness of the holiday and not lose the heart of what it is that we're celebrating, what it is that we are here to be about. And so Jesus is on the same mission today. God's doing the same stuff. He wants to redeem. He wants to save. He wants to comfort. He wants to encourage. He wants to do these things, and he wants us to be a part. And we, as his church, at Fresh Life, we want to be a part, right? We want to be a part of all that God wants us to do. So that's the goal. So we're going to focus in on what it looks like for us to be the donkey. And particularly, I want to talk to you about the details of that. The details matter. When you're talking about being a donkey for Jesus, the details matter. So let's look at Matthew chapter 21, in case you missed it because of the adorable children on the screen. We are in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look back at a couple verses to look at some of the specifics that Jesus uses when talking through these things. Verse 2, Jesus says, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." And then Mark adds in Mark 11, verse 2, he adds some detail that's not given here. When Jesus gives the instruction, he also adds that you're going to find a donkey on which no one has sat. So you're going to find a donkey which no one has sat. So these are some specifics that Jesus gives to his disciples. You're going to go to this village. You're going to go find a donkey and her baby, and you are to bring them to me and make sure this colt, this young donkey, it's a colt that no one has sat on before. These are particular commandments. Now, why was Jesus so particular? Why did he go into such detail? Well, verse 4 clues us in on why he was saying such clear commandments. Verse 4 says that all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. So Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. Some 500 years before Jesus came onto the earth, the prophet Zechariah told how the Messiah would come, how the king would come into Jerusalem. And it says very clearly, Zechariah 9:9, that he would come lowly and sitting on a donkey. And so Jesus, again, he's fulfilling the prophecies about him. And so he knows he has to, pay attention to these details. So specific prophecy was given so that specific prophecy could be fulfilled. And prophecy is just history pre-written. It's God looking down the corridors of time and saying to this prophet or to that and giving them particular insight about what the Messiah would be like and what manner he would come and the status of the world at the time, so that when Jesus did show up, he would be able to validate his arrival by saying, I've told you this before. You knew this was coming. I told you what Messiah would be like. And then when Jesus comes, everyone could look around and go, this is the guy that we've been waiting for. That was the purpose in which God gave prophecy. And so it was really obviously important that Jesus paid attention to the details of these prophecies, because if he didn't fulfill every prophecy, it was as if he didn't fulfill any. He had to uphold every law, fulfill every scripture, so that just like we learned last couple weeks in Gold from Golgotha, he could hang on the cross and speak that golden word, tetelestai. It's done. Meaning, I've completed the work that God gave me. The work the Father handed to me, I did it to the T. I fulfilled every single prophecy. And that was really obviously important that the Messiah would do so. The interesting thing, though, is that the Jews or the disciples, they didn't realize that they were helping Jesus do this. They didn't understand they were fulfilling prophecy. They were just simply obeying. They just had to go and do what Jesus told them to do. And so had they treated God's word as nothing, as careless, maybe just, oh yeah, I'll go get a donkey, and maybe he's been ridden 5 miles, but that shouldn't matter, right? They would have been an obstacle towards God accomplishing his will had they not paid attention to the specifics of Jesus's command. And so it's really important, obviously, that the disciples paid attention, because every detail does matter. Every detail demands our honor and our enthusiasm. It demands our attention. We like to say that the invitation starts now and that everything matters. Everything we do is infused with internal importance, and everything deserves our enthusiasm, our passion, and our excellence. So everything we do holds importance. The invitation that's going to go out next weekend as we join into at the Majestic, as we're at the Billings campus, the Missoula campus, the Bozeman campus, as everyone gets together, that invitation, it starts right now. It starts in the preparation. It starts in the details. It starts in caring about all the things that lead up until to that moment and creating an environment where people can come and hear the word of God. So everything does matter, and we have to carry this heart and this attitude as we approach Easter, if we're going to be the donkeys that bring people to Jesus or bring Jesus to people. And so if God was so intentional, if he was so specific about giving command, how can we not give our heart, our passion, our attention towards every detail, every graphic, every cable, every handout, every handshake, every part that we get to play matters because all those details, of course, matter to Jesus. And that's the thing about details. The little ones, they matter just as much as the big ones. And you can look at this, obviously, on any given weekend here at Fresh Life. You know, we go through a lot of detail to make sure things are right on a weekend. And of course, that's true when we deal with Easter as well, these Easter worship experiences. A lot of details go into them. Well, let's say that we took some of the details that we have to do and we've completed them up to up to 90%. 90% complete. Well, let's just take that from a promotional standpoint. You all have been giving Easter handouts along the way, these invites, these postcards that are intended to help you invite people to come and join you at these Easter worship experiences. Well, those handouts, those invites, had to get approved. They had to get printed. They had to get proofread. They had to get paid for. They had to get put on tables. They had to go through this whole process, and ultimately they were delivered to you and to me, and they're there for us to use them. But the ultimate goal of those invites aren't completed until they get into the hands of somebody who doesn't know Christ, until they get into the hands of somebody who doesn't have hope, until they get into the hands of somebody who needs to come to the Easter worship experience. That's why they were created. So if you were to grab a bunch of them and on the table out there today, and you were to put them in your car and forget about them, ultimately their job had been left undone. The reason that they were created would not have been fulfilled. And so you have to, I have to, we have to take them the last 10%. We got to take them into the hands of the people who need to hear about them. That's right. It's an important detail. Just like in the promotion or the production world, a lot of things go into that. Let's say next weekend, everybody's gathered together. Man, it's a packed house. It's gone so smooth. The parking has gone great. The worship's gone great. Kids ministry is going awesome. Everyone is engaged. And the word of God is getting ready to be preached. It's getting ready to go out. As pastor comes out, he's getting ready to share the gospel with hearts that are ready. We don't hear anything. There's no sound coming out of the microphone. It's a simple thing like, oh, well, you know, it's such a small thing. Someone just forgot to change the batteries. A small detail. And yet that small detail prohibited us from accomplishing the big picture in which we were gathering, which is, again, the gospel going out. And so every little thing makes a difference. Every small detail matters. And that's why we all collectively have to do our part. And we all have to collectively have to do it with all our heart. If we don't, then your halfway affects us all. And my halfway affects us all. We all have to, again, give 100% of our heart. And I think this is a great picture of the donkey. Donkeys are called beasts of burden. Now, what the heck does that mean? That means they get some crap done. That's what donkeys do. Donkeys go out. There's no job that's too insignificant for a donkey. There's nothing that's too small for a donkey. It's willing and able to go and do whatever you've asked it to do. And I think that that's such a great picture. The dirtier, the more complex, the more difficult, hey, I can go and do it, because that's the attitude of a donkey. There's nothing that's too small. And you'll never hear a donkey complain about being entitled, struggling with pride, not getting validated. It just goes out and gets whatever it needs to get done. And when I came to Christ, I was in high school. I was very halfway about it up to that point. And one particular summer, I was decided I was going to give my life to Christ in just a full way. I was really going to go for it. And there was a summer camp that was announced when I was in high school that I was like, I got to be a part of that. I got to go. So I approached my youth pastor at the time and I said, hey, what can I do to be a part of this? Like, how can I make sure that I'm there? And he said, well, if you don't have the money, you can volunteer and we can put you to work as a janitor. And I said, okay, let's do it. And so I showed up from some afternoons and I started vacuuming the church and doing different things. But I remember one particular afternoon, I was vacuuming the kids ministry area and God just awoken to me the reality that what I was doing was important. It was an important thing to make sure the carpet was clean. A small thing, but an important thing because kids could play in a safe place. It was clean. It was a good impression for parents as they dropped off their kids. It was a valuable thing that I was doing. And I wanted to always keep that in my heart as I grew in my faith, as I continued to serve the Lord, that I would always keep that in my mind. And so when I graduated high school, I went to Pastor Levi at the time, who was the high school pastor, and I told him, put me to work. Whatever you have for me to do, I want to do. And I actually used the words, I'm your donkey. Yeah. Burden me down. Put some stuff on my back. I'm here. I'm able. If I don't know how to do it, I'll figure it out. And I think that's the attitude that we have to have when we talk about getting things done. And so if we're going to be the donkeys that Jesus wants us to be this Easter, we just need to have a very simple attitude. It's this. If a job needs done, I'll do it. I'll do it. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to care about the things that I'm doing. I'm going to put all my emphasis in. I'm going to act like the invitation starts right now. And that's what we have to do. So what we're not asking you to do this weekend, for this coming week, is that you would just fill a hole. Nobody's looking for you just to serve out of obligation, to do it because somebody made you feel like you needed to do it because if you don't do it, well, who else is going to do it? God's not interested in that type of sacrifice. He wants us to serve with our heart. He wants to love what we're doing, that we would pinch ourselves, that we would even get to be involved, that we would be so grateful for all that we've seen God do, that we would respond and say, this is my reasonable service. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And so this is my opportunity to do that. So the details matter. They're important. And we all get to be a part of fulfilling those things. And the details matter to Jesus, so they should matter to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Coy. We're doing this WWF style this weekend, so I'm tapping in. Come on, how awesome was that? I can't even begin to describe how privileged I feel to be a part of the work that God is doing through this church. I honestly feel like Pastor Levi is one of the greatest Bible teachers in the world. And you know, there's this little company in Texas, Texas Instruments. They build calculators, and they take calculators and, you know, they calculate big numbers, and they have yet to create a device that's able to calculate the number that measures the size of Jenny's heart. They all light on fire. They all explode. Maybe someday they'll get it, but it hasn't happened yet. I am so humbled to be able to be teaching from this pulpit with some of the greatest people that I know in the world, and I'm so thankful that I get to do this. So I'm also really stoked that I get to teach the next part of this, which is the fact that it takes faith to bring Jesus to people. Now, as Coy laid out for us, obviously God cares very much about the details, right? It doesn't matter how big or how small or how seemingly insignificant it is, God cares very much about those details. But the thing is that these disciples, they didn't know the backstory. They had no idea that God had paved the way for this moment up until this point. And so for us, we have the unique perspective of seeing this story from above, from kind of a bird's eye view. And by looking at it like that, we can kind of miss out on some of the potential truth that's inside of this passage. Take, for instance, Jesus's request, which is completely insane and totally out of control. Look at this. And Mark kind of has a neat little take on what was going on in this. In Mark 11, verse 2, it says this, go into the village opposite of you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. Now, I think it's important. We kind of have to put some modern day perspective on what exactly is going on here. Because if we miss the details in this story, we can kind of miss the point. You picture Jesus going to his disciples, and he looks out and he says, hey, Bart, Tommy, you guys come over here real quick. Can you guys do me a favor? Sure. Well, you see that town over there, the one that's just on the other side of the hill? I need you to snag something for me. Sure, Lord. Yeah, yeah. We'll do whatever you want. Okay. So when you get into the town, you'll see on top of this building one of those inflatable tubular dancing men with the things sticking up doing their little jig. It'll be on top of a car dealership. So just go over to that. And when you get on the lot, you'll see a brand new, I mean, this sucker literally just rolled off the trailer, black Ford F-250 crew cab. Not the one with the leather, it's the canvas seats, but they're gray, a little CD player. And, you know, the one with the 6.7 liter power stroke turbo diesel. Yeah, what you'll need to do is you'll need to get in there, just take like an air wedge or something that you could put in the top of the door, pump that thing open, and then cram like a little lock rod through there and pop the lock. And when you get into the car, put it in neutral and then chain it up and just bring it over here. You can imagine like the disciples' face in that moment. Okay. Thinking in their minds like, Jesus has lost it. Like, he forget saving the world. We're looking for an exit strategy. We're going to start lifting cars in little towns, selling them in the big city. This doesn't seem like Jesus. This doesn't make any sense. But Jesus wasn't done. He added, he's like, oh, yeah, and if anybody comes up to you while you guys are chaining up the truck and says, excuse me, what do you think you're doing? Just say, the Lord needs it. You should be fine. Got it? Yeah? Cool. Thanks, guys. See you in a bit. And Jesus walks away. You see, apart from the backstory, Jesus's request is frankly ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. You want me to do what? Are you kidding? We can't do this. I'm not even qualified to do this. I don't even know how to do what it is you're asking me to do. But that's the thing, acting without the details, that's what faith is all about. Because if you had all the details, it would be calculated, right? It wouldn't be faith. Faith means you don't have all the details. So here's the thing. We don't know people's backstory, right? Those people that you encounter all the time, we don't know where they've been. We don't know what they've done. We don't know that they like Ford or they're obsessed with technology or they have this insatiable desire to build things with their hands. We don't know about their sin. We don't know about their struggles. We don't know about their finances. We don't know about their family. We don't know people's backstory, right? But at the same time, you cross paths with hundreds of people all the time, and every single one has a story. God has been working on them. He's been pushing them. He's been cultivating their hearts and stirring them up. He's been revealing himself to them since the day that they were born. And the second thing is, we don't know how God has paved the way for that moment that he's entrusted with us. We don't know how he's paved the way for that divine appointment that he has made with this one person that our life crosses. And the thing is, we don't know, but I don't think we necessarily need to know. I mean, truth be told, if you knew everybody's backstory, you'd probably talk to a lot less people. Be like, oh, so what's your story? They tell you, it's like, oh, that's good. Children, come with me. Stay really close. Have a nice day, right? You don't need to know their backstory. It takes faith to bring Jesus to people. It takes faith to jump into the unexpected, right? To essentially risk the ocean in your own life and in your own relationships. But it takes faithfulness to see God move through that. In other words, you gotta try. You have to try. Imagine what the drive was like for those disciples as they're like heading into that town. Tensions are probably high, nerves on fire. They got questions. They're battling out with each other. They're battling out in their hearts, trying to figure out what's going on. They don't have all the answers, but they trusted Jesus. That makes all the difference in the world. Look at this, Mark 11:4, it says, so they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. You can imagine like the fact that the disciples like going into the town, even though they didn't have all their questions answered, they still acted, they went for it. And it's cool because everything was exactly the way Jesus said it would be. As they're walking into the town, you can see kind of that boost of confidence when they get in there and they do see the colt tied up. And they go over and they start loosing it. And they're thinking in their minds like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, it's exactly as he said he would be. And maybe this will be a lot easier than we thought it was going to be. You know, maybe this will be a lot simpler. All right, sweet. All of their steps were confirmed along the way. Look at this, though. In verse 11:5, it says, But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing? Loosing the colt." There's always a but. I don't like buts. And I'm not lying. There's always those stipulations that rear their head, right? That opposition that you're not ready for, that doubt in your own ability. And the thing is, like, this fear, this debilitates you. It causes you to question how you've been called out and who God has called you to be. And these things are like, there are what ifs, right? Our what ifs, the secret conversations that happen in our heart and in our thinking. Things like, what if I don't have the answers to their questions, right? Any college dropouts in here? You don't have to admit that. It's fine. My hand's raised. Right? I don't have a master's degree in theology, and I'll worry about that. What if I don't have the answers? What if I can't communicate what I need to communicate clearly? What if I just get rejected flat out? What if this compromises my job? What if this drives a rift through our family? Right? There's all these what ifs. They creep in, and with them, they bring fear. With them, they bring doubt. But church, please don't miss this. Don't let your what ifs hold you back from what could be. Don't let your what ifs hold you back from what could be. The thing is, when we have the opportunity to jump out into the deep, we can so easily make excuses. And really, there's a million reasons why we shouldn't, but there's an eternity of reasons of why we should. So this begs the question. You guys want to know the question?
Yeah.
Okay. This begs the question. What are you so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? What was the first thing that popped into your mind? What are you so afraid of? When you're standing at the edge and you have this relationship that's come into your life, this person that's come into your life, this opportunity that God has entrusted you with, what are you so afraid of? It's probably different for every one of us in here. But whatever that is, I think you should write it down. Write down what it is that you're scared of. Maybe it's just one of those things that after church, you go out to eat with your family and your friends, And you sit down and you talk about together, what is it that makes us so afraid? What is it that you're worried about? Make that list. Think about it. Talk about it. And then I think you should pray about it. Pray about it. Pray that God would give you the same confidence that he's given you to stand before his throne with confidence. Pray that that you would know in your heart the truth of the fact that greater is the power in you that is inside of the world. Look at this verse in 2 Timothy. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Pray for those things that you're scared of, and then watch as God fills your confidence, fills your heart with his confidence this week. So look at this, Mark 11:6. It says, "And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let him go." What a relief. Right? What are you guys doing? The Lord needs this? Okay, cool. Yeah, just bring it back when you're done. Okay. Right? Jesus had prepped the way. He prepared the backstory. They didn't know that, but he did. He delivered on his promises, and he did the supernatural through some simple dudes that were just willing to trust him. It's funny how, like, we can look back on these moments and you think, what was I so afraid of? That wasn't that bad. That wasn't that crazy. The whole world didn't fall apart just because I invited somebody to Easter. You know, if anything, I developed a new friendship, something exciting, right? Our fears, they just kind of roll around in our minds. They get bigger even though there's really nothing to them. They were scared, I'm sure, but they tried. Church, there's something that you need to know. You need to know this, that it's not our job to bring people to Jesus, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is a lot more simple than that. Our job is to bring Jesus to people. And in the same way that that donkey brought Jesus into Jerusalem, we have been uniquely equipped. We have been uniquely qualified in the relationships we have to bring Jesus to the people in our lives. So who do you need to bring Jesus to? Who do you need to bring Jesus to? Who are you crossing paths with? God's prepared the way and he's sending you out. So don't be afraid. Step out into the deep and watch as God changes the world through you.
We were your typical Easter Christmas family, and we lived 2 miles from Majestic. Every night as I would come off, turn on the church drive to head home, I would see a lion shining on the side of the building. So I was invited by my niece, Alexandra, and it was just a simple, "And Kimmy, you should come check out church. You should come out, check out Fresh Life." When she said that it was at Majestic, I thought, well, we've spent a lot of time in that arena riding horses and chasing cows. And so I thought, that sounds like a great place to go check out Fresh Life. I told my husband that we were going to be going to Easter to church at Majestic. We had come to a point in our marriage that we had been contemplating separation. Our kids were growing up in a home that neither one of my husband or myself had any respect for ourselves as a husband and wife. That morning, I gave my life to Christ. That June at school church, my son would give his life to Christ. And then a month later, my daughter would, at the next school church, it would be that Christmas that my husband would give his life to Christ, something that I thought I would never be able to do. And I realized that there's nothing that I can do, but Jesus can do it, and he did it. And it's just amazing the transformation that he has had on my life and my kids' life. It was just a simple invite. It wasn't even a handout. It was just somebody saying to me, "Hey, come check out Fresh Life."
Wow. Wow. Incredible. If you're not awake now, I think there's something wrong with you, because we're a part of an incredible church here, and we get to see life change stories like that all the time. And the Bowles family, now their impact that they're making here at this church, see more families like that make decisions to follow Christ. It's incredible. Well, it's an incredible honor for me to be a part of this church, be part of this team, helping serve the creative team. And I say help because Pastor Levi is one of the most incredible creative individuals that I have ever met and ever known. He's a tiger. He's like always pushing us, like, "Oh, we gotta go, let's keep on going." You know? And then Jenny, man, she just helps me enjoy the sunshine more, teaches me, you know, how to love people. "Hey, we're supposed to, you know, make people feel loved." "Oh yeah, so the skulls and the dripping doesn't do that." Okay, all right. We're trying. Well, the third thing to remember as we channel our inner donkey in preparation for Fresh Life Easter is, if everyone lays a branch down, we can cover a lot of ground. Why don't you guys turn to verse 8 with me? "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, as Koi said, the city was like jam-packed full. Thousands of people are there. And when it speaks about a multitude, I mean thousands of people are there to see Jesus make that final 10%, to see Jesus get to the people, to get to the city. You know, just a few of them laying down their coats on the road to give Jesus this triumphal entry wouldn't cut it. It took thousands of people to pave the way, to smooth the way for Jesus. Now, I like to think about what if it would take like, what it would look like if it was just the 12 disciples. I mean, they kind of like fumbled around themselves like throughout the Bible anyways. So what would it look like if it was just the 12 of them? You know, so you have like Bart and Tommy, like they're there and they're like laying down like their 12 coats and Jesus side saddled. It's like, "Green light. Okay, all right, give me a go, it's okay, okay. Green light, go. Red light, green light, red light." You know, it'd be like ridiculous. You know, that's not very triumphal. It's a little more foolish than anything. But the disciples would do it. I mean, they're crazy like that, you know. As long as God was elevated, that's all they cared about. The truth is that one branch can't do very much. It seems insignificant. One coat what can that do? But a lot of coats, ah, now you're talking. You know, in the creative world, there's so many different tracks. There's web development, there's design, there's videography. And one thing I think that we can all collectively say that we all really enjoy is like CGI and animation. I mean, Big Hero 6, that movie was awesome. Frozen, come on, guys. I mean, I know Frozen is so last year, and get off my back. But when you're a parent, it's like every day. And not because I have daughters, I don't, I have two boys, but because my wife tries to watch it at every possible moment she can. Trying to even convince our kids. You want to watch Snowman movie? No. You want to watch the Snow Monster movie? No. Dang it, okay. And, you know, there's one scene where Elsa, you know, sings out that song that swept the nation. I won't tell you the title of it because it'll be stuck in your head. But she sings and she's coming around the balcony in her majestic ice castle and it's like all building around her. And in that particular scene, it took the animators 218 frames to compose. And the 4,000 computers that Disney had to help render out this movie, it took an average of 30 hours to render out each of those frames. But there is one frame where like they put like all like their technical like know-how and try to make this scene look awesome. But there's one frame that took their 4,000 computers 132 hours to render. 132 hours, 4,000 computers. That's pretty ridiculous. Now, in preparation for this message, I was curious, what would it take if it was just one computer? What would that look like? Well, with a little math and some help from my friends, I figured out it would take 528,000 hours. Well, that's a big number. I can't really comprehend that. So let's look at that again. 22,000 days. Okay, that's a lot, but I still don't grasp exactly what that is. 60 years for one computer to render out one image. One image. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that many hands make for light work. That with the 4,000 computers they had, there was potential for them to put all the technical know-how and to make it what it was. With the people putting their coats on the road, it became a possibility to get Jesus to the city in the triumphal manner that it was. But for some reason, even though that we know that there's an immense power in numbers, and we know that if we all get together that we can accomplish more, but for some reason, we like to stand back at the gate and see everyone else, like, you know, putting in their coats, and everyone is putting their contribution. And we're like, man, that guy did a really good job putting that coat down. I couldn't put my coat down that good. Look at that guy, the way that guy put down that palm leaf. I'm like, dang, that was clean. Like, the people who are serving video cameras and making, like, this up in the IMAX and online for the 1,200 people in the last 8 years who have given their lives online to see. You know, like, I couldn't do that. I don't have the capability of doing that. Or, like, yeah, I do design, but I don't know if I should do that. They got it covered. You know, greeters, my greeting days are behind me. That was a time of my life, but I'm done. I'm done with greeting. Why don't we want to contribute? Why don't we want to add ourselves to the army that God is creating here? I don't know, but we stand in the back. And I think the problem is that we can be blinded by what we see. Like we can feel like we don't have anything to contribute because there's so many other people that are laying down their coats. We don't like realize that if we start taking bricks out of the wall that we'd have like a holy wall. Like if all the bricks in the wall of your house is decided like, oh, these other bricks are doing a great job. I'm just not going to show up today. It's like, oh, all the cold gets in, bugs. I don't like bugs. Every brick has its place. But the thing is that you can't see what we can't do. You can't see what we can't do because all you can see is this like locked in vision right here that's in front of you. Like you can see a little bit down that way. You can maybe see a little bit down the road. And Jesus is coming. You're like, here he comes. This path I'm looking at right here. I see all the clothes. It looks covered. This is great. And then Jesus keeps on going by. He's like, you did it. Awesome. I'll keep my coat on. This is great. But like 20 feet forward, there's like a gap that is like your name written on it. That's waiting for your North Face jacket. It's waiting for that palm leaf that you can only cut down. It's waiting for you. It's meant for you. Only you can cover it. And what you don't see is the stressed out Coy Trammell who's walking around, seeing the 100 feet of uncovered earth. And it's like, okay, so if we maybe do this, I guess we could try to utilize those people. But you don't ever see that. You can't see what we can't do. You know, and one thing is I look around to people who are, you know, serving, people are contributing, people are laying down their coats. And I see a lot of loose-fitting coats. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Why are people's coats so loose? So can't they just buy them to fit? Well, the problem is that they're throwing their coats down and they're filling the hole that they've been called to. They're engaged in the calling that God has, like, set upon their lives to, like, contribute to this work here. And they're laying it out. And then they say, oh, there's a hole there. Someone's not filling it. That's okay. I'll just stretch mine out.
I got this, guys. I got this. Yeah, it's cool. I got this. No, really, I'm good. I'm good. Oh, wait. You want to put that down? You know? No, you're not? Okay, so I just ripped a little bit. It's all right, though. I can just stretch a little bit farther. This is really awesome. This is cool. And then there are people in the back, and they're like watching this. They're like, gosh, these guys just work really hard. I'm like, they're working too hard. Like, this is the church. This, what? Who's asking them to do this? Like, no one's asking them. Well, like, maybe some people are asking them. But the thing is... The thing is that there's work to be done. And for them, this isn't like, I have to do this. This is like, I get to do this. I get to be a part of what God is doing here in Montana, what God is doing across the nation, what God is doing in Nepal and Brazil and everywhere that Fresh Life has a reach, anywhere that we have a reach. And you know, figuratively, we're talking about filling holes, but as Koi said, we're not filling holes. I mean, if you're viewing this as just filling a hole, then your heart's not right. Because, you know, you're like, well, I'm just going to hand out some invites because I'm filling a hole. You know, I was like, oh, that just kind of grosses me out, you know? I'll just run this camera, I'm filling a hole. They said they needed it, so I just do it. I'm just going to watch the kids because I'm filling a hole. It's like, I don't want you to watch my kids if you're just filling a hole. Like, I want you to do it because, like, God's called you to do it because, like, we're on a mission and, like, God's infusing your heart that, like, you have an opportunity to do something incredible. You know, it's not about just getting Jesus to the gates, that's cool, but it's about seeing Jesus in every avenue, down every alley, in every sidewalk, in every driveway, in every heart. And you have a unique voice to make sure that happens. You have a unique reach, a microphone. You can make impact on people's lives that's unique to only you. You know, we're growing the sapling, trying to grow this tree, all these different branches, trying to reach as far as we can. You can help us become a redwood or just continue to be this little sapling. And the time that you take to invest into someone, that warm smile, that text message out of the blue, just telling someone you love them as they give you a coffee, I don't know what it could be. Because sometimes mean more than that 4x6 little piece of art, postcard that's out in the hallway. Like, that's great. I love that the creative department, that we can create imagery and art that can, like, inspire people, can, like, disarm them and walk into a church building, which they wouldn't normally do so. But there's something to be said, I mean, about getting that last 10% and getting them that card, but also maybe going the extra mile and just getting to know them. For some people, like, art, like, means nothing. Like, what's a font? You know, but everyone can, like, relate to a smile. And we're all to be a part of the ministry. This isn't something we can shirk off. Like, this is unnegotiable. God called us all to be a part of the Great Commission, to go out and to make disciples. So you can't be like, I'm just not called to do missions. That's not my thing. I mean, that's not my thing. Maybe it's all that's for you, but it's not for me. It's like, no, like, we're all called to be a part of the ministry. It's not just for church staff. It's not for old people who have some time. It's not for young people who have a lot of time. We're all called to get in and get dirty, beast of burden. Come on. Too often we think that church is just for us. The church is just for us. You know, Jesus didn't come into Jerusalem to put up some tents and sing Kumbaya. He didn't come to do church. He came to redeem the church. This was a matter of life and death for him and for us. This is war. This is why we do Skull Church Majestic. This is why we do Fresh Life Easter, because we believe that when Jesus gets a part and a hold of someone's life, that there is a radical change from someone who's standing on the edge, possibly going in a direction that none of us wants to see anybody go, and then to go in a brand new direction that leads into his eternal gates. And we believe that his love can do something that can shake the foundation of this world. You know, why don't you guys look at verse 10 with me? And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Why do we keep on putting our coats down? Why are we trying to further our reach? It's so that we could see our city moved. And take note of this. It was all the city. It wasn't some of the city. It wasn't a little bit of the city. It was all the city. All the city. See, as the people gathered, the thousands of them, singing in one voice and one accord to see Jesus glorified, singing Hosanna, Hosanna, God save. They're looking forward to what Jesus was going to do. But as we gather and we sing Hosanna, God save, it's for what God has done. And our belief, I believe, can cause a chain reaction in our hearts, which inspires action. And if you believe in something, you're gonna go out and do it. We need to live Like, we believe. They didn't hesitate throwing down their coats because they believed. So why do we hesitate throwing down ours? And how could we not for what Jesus has done? How could we not for how God has taken hold of our lives, how God has shown us the light, how God has taken us from the direction that we were heading and now has shown us the light? He showed us that his love sinks deeper than the holes in his hands. So just as a great multitude of coats paved the way for the donkey to get Jesus into the city, as we approach Easter, if we all bring our friend, a family member, our time, our talents, it will add up in a big way to the enormous things that God wants to say, let it be to. God has conquered the grave. You know, and we were singing just a little bit ago, we were saying, you know, we're shouting out to God, you know, in his triumph, and that he defeated the grave, defeated the enemy. So let's live in a way that we believe in the victory that he has acquired for us. Let's live in a way that together, that our city, our state, our nation would be moved. Alone, we can only do so much. But together, we can shake the walls of the city. And the people will have no choice but to ask us, who is this? And we would say, Jesus. Why don't we pray? God, it's just incredible what we get to be a part of. And God, I just pray that you just set this week, we just set this week apart as we're just in eager anticipation of what you're gonna do this next week. And God, I pray that you anoint our lives, you anoint our time. I pray that you fill this house and that you inspire us to go out, to get rid of our what ifs, to get rid of our fears, to not be lackadaisical thinking about every deep detail for every internal importance that we get to be a part of, God, for the impact that we have the possibility of making just by laying down a coat, just by getting our skin in the game, because your skin was in the game. Now we're gonna get ours in there, Lord. God, I pray that you give us the strength and the courage that we would live in a way that's not just about our what ifs, but it's our what could be's. What are you going to do? What can you do? And how can we help you get there? The Majestic is just an empty venue until you get there, Lord. This church is just empty until you come in the house, Lord. And we pray that we see lives raised to life and we see a new creation. We love you so much. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this message at Fresh Life Church. My name is Raul, and I'm one of the campus pastors here at Fresh Life. We're so stoked that you joined us. Now, if you're listening to this message and you think to yourself, man, I need to give my life to Christ, well, we want to give you that opportunity. You can click on the button called Know God at FreshLifeChurch.com. First off, greatest decision you've ever made. But click that button, Know God, and we'll send you some resources like a Bible, a message, and some things to encourage you on your decision to follow Christ. Also, while listening to this message, if you're encouraged or something welled up inside of you, you want to get it out and let us know about it, we would love to hear that story. You can share that story at, well, share your story button at FreshLifeChurch.com. It will encourage us to continue to do what we do here at Fresh Life. Also, if you would like to partner financially above and beyond what you give to your local church and partner with us to see the gospel go out over the airwaves all across this country, click the Give button at FreshLifeChurch.com and it'll launch a secure giving page and you can partner with us right there. Well, thank you so much for joining us at Fresh Life. God bless, and we'll see you next time.